Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. You're able to hear me. This is Reverend Ray, amen, on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Of course, today's broadcast is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. Amen. Brother Tony, Brother Ray, Brother Elston, Brother Cleopas alone, and Brother Tyrone should be with us in a short. Not sure who I have online with me. Okay, who's on the line with me?
Hey, Brother Ray, this is Tony Mitchell.
Okay, well, Tony, how you doing? It looks like I got Brother Elston. Are you with us too? Brother Cleopas. And
how you fellas doing?
We're doing well. Brother Tyrone, is that you, man?
Oh, yeah. This is me, Brother Tyrone.
Okay. All right.
Good afternoon, fellas. Everybody.
Afternoon.
Hey, good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
I think you also have the other brother on with us. I think he's calling in too.
Yeah, Brother Floyd, we see him. All right. Yeah. So we want to welcome everybody to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is our three real life, real men, real talk. Amen. And we got quite a few brothers joining with us. We're still waiting for, didn't hear from Brother Elston, so hopefully he'll be with us. We do have extra brother on the day, and that's Brother Floyd Rose. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and get started today. We're excited about some of the topics we're going to talk about. We're going to basically just turn everything over to Brother Tony, but I do want to quickly do the quick announcements, so just bear with me. When Christians Speak Talk Radio broadcast, the broadcast that we have coming up is Sister Bonnie Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Friendship Week with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Friends, amen, with Reverend Ray. That's every Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life for Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sundays of the month, amen, at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday, amen, at 7 p.m. Monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful, Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwain is every third Monday of the month. Amen, at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover with the Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And, of course, today is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleo Fitz Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell. Amen. And don't forget, of course, Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. Amen. It's every Wednesday. Amen. At 1 p.m., this is a free conference call. The telephone number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. Amen. So I do want to encourage you to go and check out our website. There's a little bit more information about what it is that we do. Amen. And I'm excited about this group of brothers being with me today. I do have some other announcements that's coming up. Amen. On next Sunday, April the 18th, the Bread of Life will be hosting a topic called The Journey to Better Days with Veronica Burnett, and guests, Cindy, I know I'm going to mess her name up, man. And Brother Tony, you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's Anita Mitchell. Amen. You'll both be with us on next Sunday at 7 p.m. And these ladies will be talking about dealing with grief, depression, trauma, getting counseled, all different things. So I want to make sure you tune in for that particular day. Amen. So with that being said and all announcements being given, what we're going to do at this point, we're going to give everything to Brother Tony, and he's going to take it from here and whatever the Lord sees fit him to do. Amen, Brother Tony.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rose, for giving me this opportunity. Today,
Brother Tony, wait just give me 1 minute. Okay, I hear some music in the background. Okay, yeah, you got to mute that. Thank you.
Not right. Me.
No, but I know. It wasn't you, but I know who it was. Yeah, they dropped the call in a way.
Probably a Dallas. So go ahead.
No, actually, it was a Redskins fan.
I was watching the football team.
Actually, Elston was a Redskins fan that did it, okay? All right. Okay, I'm sorry, Brother Tony. Go ahead, man.
No, it's all good. It's all good. So thank you once again for this opportunity to kind of lead the facilitate the conversation on today. So today's topic is I want to focus on friendship and what it means to be a real true friend on today. So just in case you're not familiar with DMX, DMX was a hip-hop artist. I can remember when I was 18 years old, I actually purchased his first album, and I've been a fan of his ever since then. But most recently, DMX, whose real name is Earl Simmons, tragically passed away earlier this week after suffering a heart attack. We don't know the full circumstances of why, what caused him to have the heart attack. Some say it was a drug overdose. Some say he actually took the Pfizer or one of the vaccines for COVID-19, which led to him having the heart attack, but we don't know the details. But one of the things in everyone paying tribute to him and everyone sharing their stories about DMX, one interview where he was doing an interview, he spoke about one friend when he was 14 years old. He was smoking a joint with this friend, and this friend, and I say this in quotation marks, put crack cocaine in that joint. And from that moment on, it caused Earl Simmons to have a lifelong battle with drug addiction from that very moment. And this was someone that he said was a very close friend of his. And then it made me really think about to a moment in time in 2019 where, just a moment of transparency, I was having severe marital issues during that whole entire 2019 year. And it got to a breaking point where I reached out to three guys that I consider to be real good friends in the faith, not only in the faith, but just real good friends and brothers in general. I've helped them. The reason I reached out to these three particular men is because they themselves either went through the same issues that I was going with, or they went through the actual divorce but were able to remarry to someone else. And I knew that these three, who I consider my brothers, would be able to give me the same guidance and energy that I poured into them, and they'll be able to reciprocate that to me. And when I texted them, I said, brothers, I'm at a breaking point. I need help. I need some encouragement. Please, if you have a moment, just feel free to reach out to me. One of the brothers actually texted me back and said, I'll be praying for you, my brother. And that was it. The next one then followed back up with me to 2 days later. And that conversation was just, hey, I just wanted to see if you're okay. You guys going to make it through. And then one guy actually did call me on that same day, and he just basically said, Oh, you guys, you guys are not really going through nothing too serious, so you'll be okay. And at that moment, and even today, it makes me realize or makes me think about who are my true friends in my circle. What is the definition of a true friend? And do I have anyone, if God forbid an emergency was to come up, who in my contact listing would I be able to call that I know would be there for me in my moment of need? So we're going to talk about and we're going to discuss what is true friendship, how do we see ourselves as being a true friend, and then most importantly, how do we help our friends in the time of need? And two scriptures came to mind in regard to this particular topic. Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And then one verse that I know we're all familiar with is John 15:13, which says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So in that regard, I'm going to throw out the first question, and this is open for dialogue, is what is the definition of a friend? How do you see or image or how do you portray a person to be a true friend in the sense of not just from a Christian brother as a friend, but a true ride or die, I got your back kind of friend that you know will be there for you in the good times and also in the bad times. So I'm going to turn it over to the guys, and whoever wants to address the question first, feel free to do so.
Oh, boy.
I guess.
Well, if nobody else wants to go, I mean, I'll go first.
Okay.
if someone else wants to go first, I'll gladly.
Go ahead, man. You act like a true friend right now. Thank you. Go ahead.
What is the definition of a friend? Confidant. Someone that's trustworthy, someone that knows things about you that no one else knows about you, someone that's not judgmental of you but will look you in the eye and tell you the truth about yourself, someone that if you call that person at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're going to rise up out of bed and they're going to come and try to assist you in any way you can, any way they can. And last thing I'll say of a true friend is someone that that you can dump. That you can just, you know, bare your soul to, and you can tell them everything there is to know about you and your situation you're going through. And you know that when that conversation is over, you'll never hear it again unless you bring it up.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
So, I was kind of thinking more so, you said friend, thinking of, and I was going to cheat and look up the dictionary for the word friend. But I was going to say that, thinking about the Bible, how it says how a friend would lay down his life, or a person would lay down his life for his friend. Like he would literally die for his friend. And I think about the friendship between Jonathan and David and how Jonathan was even forsaken his father, King Saul, because of the love that he had for David. And every time I think about friend, that's where I always reflect back to Jonathan and David. And even though Saul was ill-mannered towards David, and that did not carry on to Jonathan. Jonathan had his own opinion and respected David and loved him and knew the anointing that he had on his life to be a king. And even after his death, David still cared for his children, or at least one of his sons, who was born crippled or was caused to be crippled by an accident or whatever. But that carried on even after his death, the friendship and the love that he had for Jonathan, it carried on. So it was a mutual thing. It's a mutual thing. So, for him, lay down his life for someone. It may not just have to be a physical death, but it could be just like Cleophas said, you know, you call me middle of the night, I'm there. You know, when you die to yourself, to your own comfort zone, whether you're sleeping, whether you're eating, you're just tired, don't feel like it, and your friend calls you and says, I need to talk, and you stop what you're doing. Sometimes even saying, look, man, okay, I'm with my family. Give me a second. Let them know what's up. Where you're able to tell your family, you know, hey, I need to take this call. This is my man calling me, my boy calling me, my buddy, my homie calling me. He needs to talk. And so that's how I when I think about friendship, when you say what's the definition of friendship, may not have been an accurate definition, but I always think about the love and the friendship and the respect that Jonathan and David had for each other.
Amen.
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 Yeah, I would. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, no, you can go ahead. Right? Give me a little more time to think.
All right. Yeah, I as your brother was talking, for myself, I would consider a friend that when you're in the foxhole with someone, that you know that if you thought you take your sleep back in the days when it was in the service, one person will sleep and one person will stay on guard. So, and I know that's probably not really deep because that person would necessarily be a friend, but that's the type of person I want with me that got my back. Is basically what I'm saying. They got me back, my back, no matter what, and everything. That's gonna do their part, and I'll do my part, and into making sure that they covered, especially if it's through prayer, and especially if it's just being there, you know. And one of the things I think Cleophas said in the beginning, just someone that you just can talk with, they don't be trying to judge you or nothing like that. But listen, but they would be brutally honest with you at the same time. So I like that idea as a friend. And I think a friend also is one that has to be trustworthy, okay? They definitely have to be trustworthy. They have to be able to trust you, and you have to be able to trust me. It's not a one-way type of thing, okay? It's not a one-way controlling, do it my way, nothing like that. But it's, I can trust you, you know. I can trust you with confidence, and I also can trust you with just being around you, that you will do it to endanger me or cause conflict because I'm hanging out with you, okay? That's what a friend means to me and everything. And I know that that word, Brother Tony, has changed so much over the last few years, and it has so many other different meanings or tones to it and everything, but some of the meanings and tones that they have to it is that friendship, you know. It's based off of covering me, you know, or being guilty or being in control, or, you know, those type of things, you know. But friendship, man, I like Elston, what he's responsible about David and Jonathan, you know. I know there was other friends, but they stick out the most because of what took took place, that Jonathan was willing to hide David, to give David hints, letting David know what his father was thinking, you know, because he knew that his father wanted to kill him, so kill David. So, I mean, that kind of thing, man. That's what I'm looking at. Brother Ty, go ahead.
Yep, that's a Dallas fan.
Yep. Can I say something?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we hear you there, man.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. A friend is, to me, a close friend or a real friend is someone that goes beyond the call of duty when it comes down to just holding promises within you and that person. He not only holds promises together with you and that particular friend, but he also covers you. And, you know, I have friends that not only covers me and hold promises, but when we talk, they give me their opinion. And they become more of a friend or more of a closer friend because they open up to me. They don't withhold information that could be valuable to me. They give it to me straight, and I give it to them straight. And so we understand each other. We feel each other in a way that we can relate to each other, talk to each other. That's a friend to me, not only when I'm hurting, but he or she, we pray together. And so when I can have a friend that I can talk to about my problem, and then we come together and pray together about the situation, and then we get results or answers from the Lord in prayer, a true friend to me, because now we're not telling every or anybody what we've talked about, but what we went to God with in prayer, and God answers it. And that's my friend. That's my friend that I can call. I was reading in the scriptures, you can call any time of the night. If you're hungry, he can come out and feed you or whatever you need. It's not telling everybody about what's going on with you or why is it going on with you. That's what I think the definition of a friend is to me. One that prays together, that can talk with me, that can hold what we talk about together, and we not get offended with each other, but we tell it just like it is. That's what it is to me.
Amen.
Can I interject something, Roy?
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Tony, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, okay. This is Floyd. This is a very interesting conversation here regarding the term or the word friend. Friend goes beyond, well, friendship goes beyond looking at my faults. You know, they meet my needs and stuff. But a friend can be also a female, you know, a male and a female. They could be really close friends to you. Now, on the other side of the coin, do we want to be friendship with the world and stuff? There's a lot of good people out there that are good to us, but they're not saved. Do we want to, you know, separate? Do we want to separate that relationship because they're not Christians and stuff like that? Or do we want to keep that relationship and hopefully, because of our lifestyle, they can become a Christian, thus becoming a closer friend? You know, so friendship is, to me, friendship is without boundaries and borders and stuff. You know, if you take care of me, if you help me, and I help you, and I go out in every aspect of my life to help you, and you do the same for me, we have built a friendship. Friendship starts with trust, and trust starts with knowing one another, a relationship. Can my enemy, can my neighbor be a friend? I think he can. Can my enemy be my friend? Well, I think because of Christ inside of me, the enemy, I can, because of Christ inside of me, I can, you know, not myself, but Christ can turn that person to become my friend and stuff. So, like I said, you know, like earlier I said, friendship goes beyond boundaries. It has no limitation. The only limitation I think we have as far as establishing friendship is us. You know, Christ, you know, he identified 12 men. He called on 12 men, and those 12 men became his friend. You know, so, you know, Christ is calling us out, you know, to make a difference, to draw the world, to draw that person that we was back in sin, to draw that person out of sin to come to Christ. And that person will be a closer friend to us. Amen. Sorry.
Amen. Amen. You brothers have provided some real good definition of what a true friend is. And I guess I need to provide my own definition of what a friend is. I'll consider a person, and you're right, Floyd, it could be a male or a female. I consider a person a friend when not only are they able to love you despite yourself and the mistakes you make and still support you, but they also hold you accountable as well.
Yes,
some of the closest friends that I have been the ones that have pulled me on the side, not publicly, not in front of everyone, but pulled me in private and said, Tony, you know, you're messing up in this area, or Tony, you need to tighten up in this particular aspect of your life. And those individuals I have way more respect for because they have called me out in love and told me in correction in that love and moment that I needed to make an adjustment. And it helped me out tremendously. So a friend is able to support you through all of the good and celebratory times that you have, but also when there's a time for correction or there's a time to actually address some things with you, they're not afraid to do so because they love you and they support you and they really want to see the best for you. So that's kind of my definition of a friend. So kind of the segue into this, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So Brother Floyd actually kind of led to this next question of, okay, some of the friends that I know for a fact are real good, true friends. Some of them actually are believers in the faith, and they're brothers in that aspect. And I also have some brothers that don't believe, or they're not, as you say, the regular people that attend church or talk about the Bible or things like that. So they're kind of out there, but I call them tweeners. So they're kind of in between. They're in the world, but then they also know that they have to give their life to God. So
right.
In that aspect, dealing with the tweeners, those friends, how do you still maintain the close friendship? Because I find it being a delicate balance. When
yeah.
I meet with those friends, we have a good time. I don't bring up God, or I don't bring up, hey, you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, if they bring up the conversation first. Or if they ask me a particular thing about the Bible, then I see that as an opportunity to share wherever it is that the Holy Spirit places upon my heart. But there might be some people out there that might struggle in this area. So what advice would you give to a person who has a friend that isn't a true believer, yet how do you still communicate or provide some kind of way in which that you can help that friend to eventually give their life to Jesus Christ? So I turn that over to you guys.
Well, that's a good question. First, let me say that those tweeners, as you call them, believe it or not, they make the best friends.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They make the best friends. They are, you know, it's sad to say, but sometimes the tweeners are better than your your church friends, your church going friends.
Because
they understand about ride and die. They say you my ride and die dog, and I'm gonna stick with you, because that's what they know to do. I would say this though, and I have some good friends of mine who are I would say they are believers, but they haven't made that commitment. And so what I did was, to one of them, I just said, hey, listen, I said, hey, you know, we boys, whatever. I'm going to put this out here. I'm going to say this because I don't want you to say that you wasn't told.
Right.
I said, I wouldn't say that. I don't want you, if God forbid, that you stand before God and you say, well, Elsa didn't tell me.
Right.
I said, I prefer you say, when we in heaven, man, thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate you letting me know what's up, man. Give me a heads up about this. So I told him, I said, hey, you know, listen, if this is what's up. And it's up to you. And I said, and I tell you what, I won't bring this up ever again unless you ask me. I said, because I'm respect your stance. Just like you respect me, I'm respect you. So here's the deal.
Right.
And then you take it for what it's worth. You still my dog. If you want to talk about it, you want to pray about it. I said, I still love you. I still care about you, da-da-da-da-da. And then you just leave it alone like that. I'm in a situation now. It's funny that you brought that up, because I have a real good friend of mine, and he left the faith. He was a pastor, and he was a believer, was brought up in a church, became a pastor. And just when the last 2 years ago, he left the faith. He dropped a bomb on me last summer. He just said, you know, the Bible ain't what it is. You know, the white man wrote it, da-da-da-da-da, the whole nine yards. And I listened to him, and I listened to everything he said, and I didn't say nothing because I couldn't figure out what to say because he was so gone. And so in my spirit, I thought about him last week, and I was thinking about him, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm just going to go tell him what's up and leave it alone. He shared his philosophy with me, and I listened to him. I respectfully listened to everything he said. I mean, he talked to me for an hour where he was. So now I'm going to say, when I see him again, I'm going to say, look, bruh, I think you're making a big mistake. Matter of fact, I know you're making a big mistake. I pray that God will give you some revelation, that you will see the true light before you leave this earth. That's what I said I was going to tell him, because I want him to know, or that when, like I said, that he, when he stands before God, that he says somebody warned him.
Right.
Because if we don't, and God forbid, one of our best friends or whoever that we know, and we see them in heaven and standing before God, and they turn and look at us and say, why you say nothing? Why you tell me?
Right.
All these,
right.
You never told me that. You never told me about this.
Right.
Whether they receive God or not, at least you gave them a warning, gave them a heads up. And to me, that
Amen.
Would be a good friend. So, hey, this is what's up. Don't say I didn't tell you. And I ain't going to bring this up again. But if you want to talk about it, holler at me. If you don't want to talk about it no more, if you ever want to talk about it again, I will respect your. I respect you, and I respect our friendship, and I will say nothing.
Thank you. May I interject another thought? Verbatim what you was talking about. The word says, and I'm paraphrasing it, no one can come to the Father except the Spirit that draws him. Well, either that person that's out there in the world, he's our friend, or he's not our friend. But if we have God's Spirit within us, either that person is going to be compelled to come to us because God is drawing him, or because or that person is going to stay in his situation. Although the word has been spoken to him, he's going to stay in that situation until God really works on his heart and for that person to come. So I think as an individual, as a Christian, we have to be available, you know, to be, we have to be available to God and with God so that, you know, if our unsaved friends are out there, they can see that light in us and they can see that joy in us and want to come, you know, and want to be part of us or part of the joy that we have inside of us, thus converting, you know, that person from darkness into light and stuff, you know, because you see, the word said we are children of the light. We are God's children and stuff. So if that person who's in darkness see that light, we have gained, and he comes to that light, we have gained a brother and we have gained a friendship. But if that person is still in darkness, although, you know, we're committed, not more so committed to him, he's acquainted with us, you know, I believe it's God, it would take God to bring that person out of darkness to let him see, hey, this is the better way, maybe not through me, but maybe through a really close friend of yours. So my stance is, I'm not going to excommunicate you. You know, I'm not going to hold back from you. I'm going to love you always, friend, although you're in your sin and stuff. I'm still going to love you. And because I'm loving you, I'm hoping that my love for you, it could be a male or female, can compel you to come to Christ. Thus, we become brothers in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Sorry.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a very good question, Tony. You know, how do you deal with people that may be in the world that are friends? You know, one of the things I did a few years ago is I started to department and we used the word friend. Let me speak. I was using the word friend and I was using it very loosely. Everybody was my friend. When in fact everybody I was friendly toward, they were friendly toward me. We didn't have any hang-ups. We really wasn't friends because, you know, we didn't talk outside of work or outside of whatever gathering we were in. Sometimes it's even in the church. I have partners that are in the church that we together, we laugh, chop it up, do all that. But when we go outside of those four walls, you know, we don't really talk, you know. So I stopped calling everybody my friend.
Right.
And, you know, because truth be told, everybody's not you. And we, you know, for me, I just try to live a lifestyle before people, whether they're in the body of Christ, out of the body of Christ. You know, and there's some people that got one foot in and one foot out. You know, on Sunday they shouting and speaking in tongues. And this is no knock on anybody because I was that dude too, you know.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, they'll cuss you up one side and down the other. And again, no knock. But everybody's not your friend. You know, and for me, a friend, again, is, you know, somebody that I genuinely care about me. You know, we don't mind, you know, bearing our souls to one another. And I think, I don't know who it was, but somebody mentioned the word accountability. You know, we're accountable. I can remember a brother coming up to me, a deacon in the ministry, and he came to me, he says, man, you know, the Spirit of God told me that you're supposed to be my accountability partner. I said, okay. And we didn't really hang out like that, and we didn't really talk like that. And he said that, and I don't know, a year or two went past, and I remember telling my wife, that guy right there is my best friend. And it formed a relationship between us because it was God-born. You know, he came to me and asked me to be his accountability partner. He was having some challenges, you know, in his life with some things that was driving a wedge between him and his wife. And she has my number. And she can call me and tell me.
Right.
And she called me and tell him he's doing this, you know, and we would talk. And those are the kind of friends that I think that, you know, we should all aspire to be. But that came through what he saw or what the Spirit of God laid on him about me. And I just want to be that guy that somebody can point to or that the Almighty God can say, that's the guy. You link
right.
up with him.
Right.
You know, because the truth of the matter is, you know, who we hang around, we will soon become like. You know, if I'm a blood-bought believer and the only people I hang around is drug dealers and people that cheat on their wives and all that, at some point, somebody's going to rub off on somebody. And
that's
if I've
right.
got a circle of three or four or five friends, and that's what they're doing, people that I call my friends, and that's what they're doing, at some point, they're going to rub off on me. And it's going to make it look, and see, that's what Satan does. Satan dresses that thing up to make it look like it's acceptable. And that's what Paul
yes.
was talking about in Galatians. He says, who has betwixt you? Who tricked you? Who fooled you to
that's
think,
right.
think
exactly.
that there's another gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ?
That's right.
So that's my two cents on it. And not, again, I'm not putting a knock on anybody, you know, it just that was something that the Spirit of the Lord laid on my heart, and I just stopped calling everybody. You know, I got people that I work with, man, and if you came to the dealership and you saw us hanging out, you'd think we were best of boys. And the truth of the matter is, when I leave that dealership, they don't talk to me, and it's not out of we don't have anything in common.
Common, yeah.
The Bible says yeah. this. The Bible says, how can two
Walk together.
Except they agree.
Except they agree. That's right.
So.
I think my thing is when I think about someone, I always think about that scripture. Well, I don't know what the scripture, but something that we always say that how we're being salt, light, and power. And even in that type of situation, I agree with Alistair. There's some people that's outside the world that you they like ride and die, so to speak, and you try to keep that in perspective, keep that part of that stuff that you don't agree separate. But in the meantime, you know, your life, the way you live, is a testimony unto them.
Amen.
And they're watching you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
the test. How we live our life, that's a testimony.
Amen.
Yeah. Other thing I thought about was, am I my brother's keeper? That scripture was Abel told God. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And everything, not knowing the words that he said had so much power and everything.
Amen.
You know, and we are definitely responsible. I forgot the word that Tony used earlier, that I need to be held accountable. I think it was the word accountability.
Yes.
For each other, you know, so that when I see my brother weak, then I can strengthen him. Jesus told Peter that, I believe it was Peter, said, when you see Peter, thou the rock, but now I want you, when you're strong, strengthen your brother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In order for someone to be classified as a brother, there has to be a closeness to it. And it's not necessarily about blood, brother, but there has to be a closeness, a uniqueness that I know you and you know me and everything like that, that I can trust you as a brother and I can believe in you as a brother. So when you're strong, don't forget about your brother, strengthen your brother, you know. And that's our lifestyle. That's our testimony. That's everything there is about us. And again, I go back to what I said earlier, and I'm turning back. I don't know who else. I think Brother Tyrone has left. That word friend is tossed around very loosely nowadays. And not everybody is our friend. And we got to recognize that people, you know, have different motives and different things that they want to do and they're not necessarily our friend. They can be an acquaintance, but they're not necessarily our friend, you know, because when the chips are down, can you count on them? You know, the question's being asked. Can
Amen.
You count on them? All right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep. I saw a quote, and I apologize for jumping in, but I saw a quote, I forget where I saw it, and it said this. It said, not all snakes crawl on the ground. Some of them sit right across them.
Yeah, they do. There are people that are not in the faith, that are not Christians, but they are friends. And I found them, you know, one of the brothers was speaking about, you know, they would even be a defender of you. I've had friends that are not in church, but yet when they're around me, they defend me for what I stand for. And not only that, they know what I stand for, so they'll put aside the things that they would do that will you know, sort of hurt the relationship as us being friends. In other words, if we're together, they know I don't smoke, they don't smoke. And they know I don't do this, they don't do it. If a conversation come up about things that we don't do, they won't do. They'll be a defender of me as well as I'll be a defender of him. And when we come to the discussing the word or talking about the word or me offering a plan of salvation, that's always. You always bring that up with him. But all the same time, he knows the will, he knows the way, but he chooses not to accept the way, but he yet still wants to be a part of our relationship, part of the friendship that we have. Although the Bible tells us that being a friend of the world has no friend with the Lord, with God, enemy of God. But even with that thought being in mind, that friend can be a friend to you. And the Bible also speaks of us finding a friend of the world. You never know who you're going to need. There's no use of me hating or harming or hurting him, because it might be that one that's going to help me when I really need it. So with love and kindness, I'm going to always treat him with the highest respect, but yet give him the word, or yet give them the word and be their friend. But when it comes down to the word of God or to my life, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness. Amen.
I'm
going to draw a difference there. You know, I'll be your friend. I'll talk with you. We'll socialize together. But when it comes down to the word of God, I'm going to give you the word. And instead of arguing with that person or fighting with the person, I have to know the word. So we're not going to argue the gospel, but I'll give him the word, but he's still my friend. And we depart ways. We go. He go his way. I'll go my way. He understands when we come together again, it's the same story. You're my friend. But when it comes down to my salvation, when it comes down to the word of God, you know, I'm not going to give in to what you're doing or what way you're acting. So there are friends that's out here that you can call your friend, that I can call my friend, and they know what you stand for. But it's important to me to hold on to what I stand for and what I believe. Another scripture says, with love and kindness, eventually, you can draw that person in. You can draw, whether it be male, female, you can draw that friendly person in if you stand for what you know. So I think you can have a friend out there and still have the Lord on your side. You know, I think, but just don't let it become between you and your God. That's what I think.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
Amen. We, Roy, how many of us is on the telephone right now? Is it five of us or four?
It's probably about seven.
Seven,
but,
okay.
By the way, my name is Ray, okay? So don't call me Roy.
Okay,
I knew that was coming.
So
wait a minute. Also, Claude, I know you're new to the group, but Tony is leading this group, man.
Oh,
so you gotta refer everything back to him. All right.
Mr. Tony, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mr. Lord. Tony, but okay.
Hey, take it easy on the fellow, man.
This is new to me here, you know. But there's seven men on this phone, correct? Each one of us came to Christ because someone shared with Christ to us, right? That person may be no longer in our lives now. They probably gone with the Lord and stuff. But all seven of us, we came to Christ because someone else told us about that person. Came. It could have been your mom. It could have been a friend in your past that introduced you to the Lord. So, I mean, we could have been in our sin, deep in our sin, doing anything and everything. But someone, somewhere, somehow, the Lord spoke to that person, and that person whispered in our ear, and we got out, and he got our attention. And now this is where we're at now as Christians. So, you know, we're not looking at, you know, the people. You know, we can be a friend to the world as to say, let me introduce you to someone that can really take care of you. This person who I'm talking about is Jesus. Just like that person introduced us to Jesus, we as Christians who are friends to Christ because of what he did for us, we can introduce people, our friends, our ungodly friends, because at one time we was ungodly people. We was a people without a God, without salvation. But someone came to us and we had an ear to listen. Someone became a friend to us. We can do the same thing to change the world. And so we can become a friend to someone to share. We can plant the seed like the farmer does, plant the seed and let God do the increase. In other words, what I'm saying is don't reject people that's not saved, but accept it. Don't accept their lifestyle, but accept them as a person, because someone accepted us as a person and introduced Christ to us, we can do the same thing. We can become a friend to someone and change that person's life, like someone became a friend to us and changed our lives. I'm sorry. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's good, because just like all the brothers said, some of my closest supporters and the ones that is definitely at a nail drop have my back are the ones that's out there supposedly in the world. Yet I've noticed that throughout our friendship throughout the years, they either stop doing certain things or they know that, hey, I can't say, but I can't cuss while I'm around Tony.
Right.
I got to be respectful.
Right.
Or,
right.
Hey, I can't smoke. Or, hey, I can't drink like I do when Tony's around. So that mutual respect without me just calling them out on the stuff really just shows that, hey, they really respect me and they respect my opinions just as much as I respect them and respect their opinions. So to your point, you definitely have to have that balance of, hey, we're still going to be friends no matter what. You're going to be my boy. But I am going to let you know that you need to give your life to Christ when the opportunity comes up. And you can never
Amen.
Say, I never told you, when, you know, you had every opportunity to get yourself right. You know, so I appreciate your brothers on that feedback. And one last question, I think this would take us to the end of the broadcast. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So in that, real quickly, going around, how can we show ourselves to be friendly towards people that we consider friends or we know for a fact or our friends or our brothers or sisters in Christ? What is one thing that we can improve upon ourselves to make ourselves more of a friend to everyone that we have in contact with? So I'll turn that over to you guys, and real quick, one answer to that question.
Well, I'll say
an honor.
Okay, go ahead.
I just said agape and honor. You know, the agape love of God, you know, to be in our hearts toward all the time, and honor. So we push the word honor with all the respect, you know, to honor people. Well, it doesn't matter what walk of life or who they are or, you know, what lifestyle they're living, we still show them agape and honor. And I think Brother Floyd said it earlier, that the love of God is the spirit of God that would draw them, you know, and all God asks us to do is to be a willing vessel to operate on his behalf and to show the love of God to all men. And to
all mankind.
All man, doesn't matter what they're doing, you know. It's about winning them to Christ. Again, I think Brother Floyd said it is, one plant, one water, but God gives the increase.
And it doesn't matter the color of your skin.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, the only people who recognize skin color is us. God don't recognize skin color.
No, that's right. So if we forget the flesh that we're in, like Paul talks about, he said, walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we walk
Amen.
In the spirit, we're not going to look at the color to win that person to Christ. We're going to look at the soul because it's that soul that's crying out to God. The flesh is rebelling, but that soul, the spirit man, is calling out to God, and we have the answer. You know, we can reach out. We can reach out to that person and help them, and thus become that friend to that person. I'm sorry. I mean, is God in us bringing people? Forget about ourselves. Forget about our ambition. Forget about our, you know, what we want. He said, "I decrease, so that Christ may increase." We are the salt. You know, we are the salt of the world. You know, it's not about us. God don't care about the color of your skin. You know, we see this in a lot of churches and stuff. You know, I'm here in Texas. There's a lot of prejudice here. But God doesn't, you know, I'm not going to make it to heaven because of the color of my skin. I'm going to make it to heaven because of grace. And I want my friend to come with me because of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. I just got excited.
Oh,
sorry,
Tony.
Oh. I'd have been a taker.
Oh, man. For those that don't know, that's my twin brother, man. I love him like crazy. You know? That's my twin. Who's that?
I didn't know you had a twin, so that I just learned something today.
Yeah, that's my twin brother, you know. He loves to talk. But it's good. He said some good things. So, Tony, I'm sorry, man. I'm not trying to take over again. But let me go ahead and say my little piece and everything, because I know you gave us a time limit, you know, like a one-word
thing.
No.
It's your show. It's your show, so you do what you got to do.
No, this is my new favorite show. But I just think about if I had one word to put, I would say all the words that has been already said, and the word trust, and just and faith, and the main one is love. Okay, love. That's what we do. You know, that's how we. Men know that we are his disciples, but that we love one another. And how we treat even those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Not, no judgment, just love. You know?
Amen.
That's based on the God.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Buck. Hey, Cleo.
All the family secrets coming out, right?
who was that?
Oh, no. Who was that that said that?
Who said what?
Who said what?
Hey, Buck.
Oh, somebody called him Buck?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good.
Ain't nobody called you Ray yet?
No, they called me Ray. That we don't call him Buck. We call him Brother Cleo. Okay. All right, y'all, you're getting off topic.
I'm learning all the nickname.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, Mama said, "Hi, Roy. Hi, Dave. Hi, Ray."
It is. Mama done spoke. Hey, Tony and Rick, do I have time to tell a quick story about my favorite Aunt Lucy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I promise it'll be quick. So, my favorite Aunt Lucy, she's coming to buy a car from me. She always calls me by my nickname. That's all she ever calls. I don't think I've ever heard her call me Cleo. And nobody at the dealership knows that I have a nickname. I'm sure they know I do, but they don't know what it is. And she come up to the dealership. She said, "I'm looking for Buck." And they're like, "Who is that?" So on that day, everybody found out what my nickname was. But I love my aunt. Boy, I love her. Lost. She gave everybody my nickname.
Hey, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Love, praise the Lord. God is good.
Hello, yes, Mother.
God is good. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Well, Ray, that's all that I got. and I appreciate you, brother. I don't know nicknames and two brothers and everything.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Names, you learn nicknames and new names.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Elson, are you still with us? You on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so you up next?
I don't have anything. To be honest with you, man. I'm not going to do that. I don't have anything else.
No. I'm talking about next month.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, I thought you were talking about something else to say. I said, no, I'm good. But, okay.
All right.
Cool. We're gonna have maybe it's called What's Your Name?
Wait a minute.
What's your real name?
That's funny, bro. But I know you got a nickname. You ain't never tell nobody, but I'm sure you got a nickname, man. So yeah. Okay.
I don't have no nickname, man. I don't have no nickname, Roy.
I tell you, if we hang around long enough, we're gonna find out what it is.
We're gonna come out. Yeah, sure, come on,
it's,
man.
It's whatever they call me. That's what I go with.
Okay.
Elson.
They're gonna call you late for dinner, right?
L Boogie, whatever.
Yeah.
I get it all. So I don't have no nickname.
Okay.
Roy.
Hey, see. Don't go there. Let it go, man. Let it go.
And my other brother's name is Tyrone.
They didn't know that, bro. You see?
Just same time, fine.
They know that, man.
Yeah. Tyrone.
Hey, by the way, Elston and Cleophas, guess what? He's a Redskin fan, so y'all got him.
Yes.
Hey, man. I think that evens the odds. It's 3-3.
And that's even the odds. He's a Redskin fan. He is.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not a Redskins fan. I'm a Washington fan.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to change it.
It's better to have been a Cowgirls fan. I'm just saying.
Oh, Really?
Ooh. And nobody said nothing, but he said he's not a Redskin fan.
Say
he's
that.
A Deadpool fan.
Woo!
Shot fired.
Gotta go. Dinner's ready.
I guess we ain't friends no more.
For those that those that are listening, all, you know, have signed in and listened online, and we just, look, we're just men. Real, that's what it's talking about. Real life, real men, real talk. we just keeping it real. So we went to talking about friendship, to talking about dead skin. I mean, the Washington football team.
you had to get that final shot in, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Hey,
yeah, we
love them despite their faults. So.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Them cowgirls.
Yeah, and they got to be a brothers, too. We kind of kept those as brothers, too. You know, no matter how we feel, we look at them like, okay, it's okay. We still here. We still your brother. You know, we still love you, you know, no matter what. So it's all good. It's all good and stuff like that. But, man, okay, Tony. Elston, Tony only gave us a half hour. No, wait a minute. It's 8 o'clock. I'm sorry.
It's 8 o'clock.
It's after 8. I'm sorry, man.
Wow. It's 8:05.
8:05. I think when I did the broadcast, I set it up for an hour and a half because I thought Tony would go a little longer. It's just a game. So I was just being careful. But, amen. Hey, guys, thank you again for being a part of this. Thank you, Brother Floyd, you know, that put all my business out there. Thank you for that, man.
No problem.
yeah, thank you for that. Oh, I'm going to get you for that, okay? Guys, this is a great conversation talking about friendship and camaraderie and just realizing what is a friend, you know? And for those that are listening or maybe listening later on in the different platforms, keep those things in mind. You know, not everybody, one of the things that was said, not everybody is your friend, okay? Not everybody is your friend. Again, I do want to remind you, next Sunday, amen, on the Bread of Life, I will have with me Sisters Anita Mitchell and Veronica Burnett, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things concerning what's going on now. You know, there's many things that's happening right now and with us and in the world and with the coronavirus. So we can talk about dealing with grief, loss, how to get help, where to get help, those kind of things. So I want you to tune in next Sunday for that at 7 p.m. Amen. Also, I'm excited for this. Amen. This is some great news. We have a new ministry getting ready to start up in April. No, I'm sorry, in May. Okay. And it is geared towards singles. Those that are still single or become singles. And the name of the ministry is called Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry. I'm working with a young lady. We're going to be doing this together. And we're May the 21st, I believe that's the date that we'll start. Amen. So we've been looking excited. We're going to basically have a broadcast, a podcast about dealing with singles. We're going to talk about pretty much an open forum on as believers, how we should be taking care of ourselves and avoiding pitfalls and temptation and what to do. We probably will bring some of these guys on that are married and their spouse to give us some pointers and everything. I don't know yet. So y'all better stay alert because I think I'm the only one on here that's single. So we stay alert. So we might have to bring you on and talk about some different things. So I'm excited about Sister Maggie, Pastor Maggie. All right. Wilson, she'll be assisting us with this, and I'm also looking forward to anybody else that wants to assist us with it too. We also started a Facebook page already, so we'll have that up and running. But again, brothers, thank you for tuning those. Thank you all of you for tuning in to us. Have a blessed and wonderful day. We didn't pray in, and it's everything. But so we're gonna
make an announcement real quick.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, so as you guys might know, I have a nonprofit organization with my wife, Sunita, Anaya's Project, and our mission is to help families dealing with pregnancy and infant loss or dealing with fertility challenges. We have our first event on Saturday, April 24th, 6 p.m., a night of poetry. So this is going to be a real fun experience. We're going to have several poets from the DMV area that's going to participate. We're going to have a raffle. We're going to have a contest, all kind of different things. Again, that's Saturday, April 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. The find out more information about it, please visit our Facebook page, Anaya's Project, Inc., or you can also check us out on Instagram at Anaya's Project, or you can go to Eventbrite and type in bit.ly, and hold on, let me get that information. You can get go to bit.ly and type in Night of Poetry in all caps. So feel free to participate, make wherever donation you can that's available. There's no limit to what you can do. I know these brothers on here are loaded, so hopefully they'll make a donation as well. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, send me the link, Jamie, so we can post it,
yeah.
Okay? All right, send us the link. All right, anybody else have an announcement? Go ahead. All right. Anyone else? Because, I mean, we don't really, but I do want to let those know that we have we do have a couple of pastors in the midst of us and everything, and maybe you're in the Richmond area or up in Maryland area. If they want to give you the name of their church, that kind of stuff, or how they can get in contact with them, we can do that also. Brother Elston, real quick.
Sure. My name of the ministry that I'm pastor of is the Believers Sanctuary. And right now we're still doing Zoom at 11 o'clock every Sunday. So if you want to go to my website, you can get the link to the Zoom broadcast. Again, we're 11 o'clock on Sundays on Zoom. The website is called TheBelieversSanctuary.com, The Believers Sanctuary. Believers S, and then S for sanctuary. So it's two S's in between the believers and the sanctuary. Again, that's more every Sunday, 11 o'clock. We'll love to have you.
Okay, Brother Tyrone.
Amen.
Yeah, we're doing Zoom as well. We're doing Zoom on Wednesday nights and on Sundays at 1 o'clock. You can go to our church page, Mount Pleasant Pentecostal Faith Church, and see the Zoom number to get on Zoom. Come on, be in service with us on Sunday mornings at Sunday afternoons at 1 o'clock, and then on Wednesday nights we have the Just Pray and God Will Do the Rest broadcast that comes on at 7:30 on Wednesday nights. And you're welcome. Any of you brothers are welcome to come on and pray. We just pray for anybody during that hour and a half of prayer. And you also can find the Zoom number for that on our Facebook church page, Mount Pleasant Pentecostal Faith Church.
And, okay, Brother Cleo.
Our ministry, I am under the Honorable Apostle Michael A. Freeman at Spirit of Faith Christian Center. We're still doing Zoom. We have some powerful services. Marriage Made Easy. We have Wednesday Bible study at noon with Apostle Freeman. And then again, we have evening Bible study at 7 p.m. On Facebook Live, Zoom, YouTube. It's an awesome ministry and awesome man of God. It has a heart for God.
Okay. Brother Tony, I know you gave me what you got coming up. Do you have anything else? Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I could just share the church that we're at. We're at the Sanctuary Kingdom Square, which is right off of Crane Highway. We serve under Bishop-elect Anthony G. Macklin. We're still doing Zoom and live feeds from our website. So those services are at 9 o'clock every Sunday. And you can check us out, www.tsas.org, which is the same Kingdom Square.
Amen.
Or you can check us out on our Facebook page as well.
Amen. Anything else, brothers? Otherwise, we're done. We're finished. May the Lord add a God, I cannot remember that scripture. What's that scripture, Ty? Close it. Did you use? Tyrone.
I'm sorry.
What's that closing scripture you use, man? Go ahead and give me that closing scripture. would you use when you close?
One that comes top of my head is, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from the other. Let the whole church say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right, brothers, y'all take care. Thanks again for tuning in. Well, this is an outstanding conversation. Looking forward, Brother Austin, next month. Amen. So God bless. Again, everyone, you've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk, with Brother Ray, Brother Tony, Brother Austin, Brother Cleophas, and Tyrone, and had a guest. Of course, we had my twin brother, Brother Floyd Rose. Amen. That put my other name out there, but it's okay. I still love him. But y'all, I'll talk to y'all later, man. Y'all be blessed. Okay. All right.
All right.
All right, guys.
All right. Take care, brothers. All right, bye.